Thanks, Brian. Bless the Lord. That is true. It really is critical, and I would encourage you, if you missed one of the last 2 weeks, it is on the internet. It's a wonderful invention we got, right? We can use it for good or for evil, right? But really, I really encourage you to listen to that, because a lot of times, even believers who have been believers for many, many years go, oh yeah, I know I'm supposed to forgive. But in reality, they aren't really doing it the way the Bible says to do it, and so they're actually bound up in bitterness. Even though they've forgiven, they actually haven't. Or they have become offended again, sometimes by the same offense. And they're bound, and they don't even know it. So I really encourage you to listen to that if you didn't get an opportunity to hear it the last couple weeks. Just going to tie together a couple things real quickly. Last week, I talked about giving to everyone who begs from you. We've been working our way through the Sermon on the Plain. There's the Sermon on the Mount, and there's the Sermon on the Plain. In the Sermon on the Plain, Jesus is addressing similar issues to the Sermon on the Mount, but he's really zeroing in on this issue of loving your enemies. And so we looked at that last week, and how we need to learn to live life by letting stuff go. We really do. We just need to forgive people. And Jesus said, if you understand that there's a great reversal coming, we live life feeling like we have to get justice like here and now. And so we're always kind of in this tit-for-tat mode. You know, somebody hurts us, and oh, it's unfair, and then we got to somehow, that's unfair, it's got to be made right now, and if it's not made right, you know, soon, then it's terrible, and we're always in this kind of, if we're living life like that, we're going to be a bitter person. We're going to be struggling with issues of bitterness, and it's going to greatly hinder our fruitfulness as a believer. And so Jesus really said, hey, there's this great reversal coming. Just go ahead and listen to that if you didn't get a chance to. But Jesus said, give to everyone who begs from you. I wanted to mention that to the business owners here. Obviously, it's okay to charge people money for services you do and expect them to pay. It's the if they beg you, right? If someone is really in a difficult straits, and sometimes it's better just to let it go rather than demand your rights. But anyways, that's another issue. I just wanted to mention that. The other thing is love covers over a multitude of sins. We talked about that. And whoever would foster love covers over an offense. But whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. And so we know that happens, especially can happen in marriage. So this is especially apropos in marriage relationships, but also in any kind of relationships, it works. And the one thing I was going to say too, and I didn't get a chance to say this forgiveness thing applies even to people we don't know. And what do I mean by that? I mean people like politicians, news reporters, Supreme Court justices. We get offended by these people. At least I do. I know nobody else does, right? It's just I get offended by these people, okay, from time to time. And the Lord showed me, he's really been taking me to the woodshed the past year about the importance of forgiving them. Because the Lord showed me, he said, you don't forgive them, you're going to have a hard time with their supporters. And they're all around you, Bob. They're all over the place. So you need to forgive them so that you can actually minister to these people's supporters. People who are on their side. These people need Jesus really bad. I mean, really bad. It's going to work out fine for us, right? We might be upset about the direction of our nation or certain things or certain issues, but it's going to work out great for us, like forever. And it's not going to work out good for them. It really isn't. And so we really, really need to forgive people like that as well. Paul said, pray for government officials, not just the ones we vote for, right? The ones that we didn't vote for, too. We pray for them, too. Not just so that things work out well, so that we live peaceable lives, but also so that they might be saved. That's what Paul says in 1 Timothy 2. So I just wanted to add that in there, throw that into the forgiveness batch. And it's not a bad thing to examine our hearts about that. I had to do that, and I continue to have to do that. And I'm realizing it was a blind spot in my life, just confessing my own personal sin in this area. And how God really has taken me to the woodshed in that. Like, you need to forgive these people, Bob. I'm like, yes, I do. I do need to forgive them. News reporters, news media, whatever. Just need to forgive them. And amen. They need Jesus. So anyways, we're going to pick it up now. We've been talking about this issue of forgiveness, talking about loving our enemies. We talked about lowering the barrier to, you know, if we're thinking loving our enemies, that's the guy that's got the submachine gun who's going to, like, take us out with when the government collapses and they come for us. We go, oh, yeah, that's the guy. I got to love my enemy, right? But actually, Jesus really wants us to apply that to, like, all kinds of people, like, all the time. Like, a person, they might even, like, live in the same house as us. That one, you know? You're like, even our spouse when we have a bad day, you know? It's like all that love your enemy stuff kicks in. It all kicks in. It applies all the time. If we just put it way up here, that, you know, theoretical situation, we won't put this stuff into practice. And Jesus wants us to put it into practice every day of our life, because we'll get plenty of opportunities to love difficult people, really. Sometimes we are one, right? Oh, just okay. Sometimes other people have opportunities to love us as well. So anyways, we want that, right? And this is where we pick it up. Luke chapter 6, verse 37 through 38. Jesus says, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. And again, one of the most misunderstood scriptures in the Bible. I mean, it is really misunderstood. Jesus is not saying we never judge anyone or anything. He's not saying that. We got to put this in its context. Okay, what he is saying is he's saying, listen, I know you need to let things go, and that needs to be your approach to life most of the time, but sometimes there's just going to be issues where you're going to just want to talk to somebody to correct the situation. And you're going to feel you need to do that. And Jesus understands there's a time for that when you need to approach someone, you need to take some action to try to bring an end to this conflict, this problem that's going on. That is appropriate to do that at times. Sometimes we let things go, and sometimes we do have to do that. Okay, and Jesus is assuming we're going to do that anyways. So he says, hey, when you have to do this kind of thing, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Don't go into meeting or dealing with that person with your verdict in your mind already decided. They are guilty. That's it. I'm right, they're wrong. They just need to get their act together. And I don't care if they don't. Quite frankly, I've had it with them. That's what Jesus is talking about. Don't do that. He's saying don't do that. Don't shut somebody off, cast your verdict, guilty, that's it. Don't want to deal with them anymore. He says don't do that. He says judge not and you'll not be judged. Condemn not and you'll not be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. And he's primarily not talking about money here, is he? He's saying, you want mercy in your life? You don't want people judging you? Guess what? Give it out. Give out mercy. Give out, you know, try to come into the situation with an open mind. Why? Because you may have it wrong. You probably don't have all the facts. You probably don't. Almost guaranteed. You're missing some piece of the puzzle. It's probably not quite as bad as you think. But even if it is, you come into the situation with an open mind. I might be missing something. Maybe I'm missing something here. Okay? I'm not going to pass judgment. Look at what he says. He says, he also told him a parable. He said, can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? See, we get offended and we think we got to fix that person, right? He says, listen, if you're the blind man, he says, listen to what he says here. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. He said, he's basically saying, listen, you're trying to help somebody out. You're like trying to point out and fix somebody, and you got the same issue. You can't help them because you got the same problem. You can't help them. It's not going to work. Look at what he says. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? You're just going to blow up the situation worse. If you aren't dealing with what? Self-examination. You got to start there. He says, how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take that speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to take the speck that is in your brother's eye. Now, clearly, there's judgment going on here, right? You're discerning there's a problem. Something's wrong. Somebody did something wrong. That involves judgment. But we're not casting the verdict and saying, guilty, that's it, we've had it, right? And we're not going into the situation saying, I'm just going to fix this guy, without first self-reflecting and saying, take a deep breath. Okay, Lord, what have I done anything wrong here? What did I do wrong? What is there anything here that I need to repent of, that I need to change? And so we go into the situation desiring, you know, first of all, reflecting on ourselves and seeing where we may be at fault. And it might seem extremely minor to us. It doesn't matter. What seems really minutia to you might be a really big deal for the other person. Just saying, right? And that other person is going, well, that's a pretty minor issue, the issue that you have, right? And they're thinking the problem they got is the big one, right? So he's saying, listen, this is how you approach the situation. Get the log out of your own eye. Assume that your problem, that you are the one with the bigger issue. Assume that. Just assume it. And try to approach it that way. Try to do whatever you can to get rid of your own fault in the situation. Try to confess up, to try to be really honest about the situation. And you go into it ready to forgive, right? You're actually looking for reconciliation. You're actually desiring it. You're not out to prove that you're right. You're out to try to actually reconcile with the person. That's what you're trying to do. And you're actually trying to help them, okay? You really are. Not just prove you're right, right? In fact, you're not going into it to prove you're right. You're actually going into it to try to help them. In fact, when we avoid conflict in difficult situations, sometimes we need to talk to somebody. And when we ignore it because it's too uncomfortable, we're actually being kind of selfish. We really are. We're not interested in helping that person. If we're really interested in helping someone who's got a serious issue in their life or a real problem, that's an ongoing problem there, or there's just this falling out, this problem, we're going to be willing to take that extra step and take that risk to try to bring resolution to the thing. But we always start it with an open mind, seeking reconciliation, realize we may have something wrong, and we're going to just be honest, and we're going to repent to this person, to our brother and sister, about anything that we did wrong. We're just going to call a spade a spade. I'm sorry the way I talked to you was not very kind. My choice of words was not good. You know, whatever it is. And so we try to make that situation right as much as we can. Okay, now we're going to go and we're going to look at, so that's the approach. That's the attitude we bring into conflicts that we have with people. Now we're going to look at the nitty-gritty details of it. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 18. How do we actually walk this thing out, this reconciliation thing? That's the attitude. Jesus tells us the attitude we need to have, the self-reflection we need to have going into a situation like this. That's incredibly important. Now he's going to give us the nitty-gritty details of how to walk this thing out. Now, we're going to do a hypothetical situation. We're going to talk about one which, unfortunately, is way too common. Okay, just saying, but we're going to do it. It's going to be hypothetical, all right? But it happens. These things happen, the situation I'm talking about. Let's imagine we've got a husband and wife, okay? We'll just call them Susan and John, okay? We've got Susan and John here, okay? Susan discovers John is looking on the internet at inappropriate things, okay? Inappropriate material on the internet. She's heartbroken, as we could expect. It's really upsetting. She's discovered it. Okay, now what happens a lot of times when something like this happens? She gets on the phone with Jane, right? Tells Jane about it. Okay, I can't believe it. And she's crying, and we understand why, you know. She's really upset. She's hurt. She tells Jane about it. Jane's like, oh my goodness, it's terrible. And then Jane calls up, you know, Betty Sue and Mary Jane and Lou Ellen and before you know it, it's all over the church. It's all over everywhere, right? Social media, it's showing up. I mean, who knows? You know, it's just, pray for so-and-so. Just letting you know so you can pray for them, right? Yeah. Yeah, we know about that one, right? Got to put a spiritual spin on it, right? Listen, don't do that. Don't do that, okay? If you're Susan and you find out that your husband has done this, look at what it says in verse 15 of chapter 18. Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. Don't bring it out to everybody and talk to everybody about it. Now, what happens if you get your Jane and you get the call from Susan? He's looking at trash on the internet, blah. You know, you're heartbroken, you're offended, you're hurt by it. Be careful what you do with that information. You know what you do with it? You ask this very important question. Have you talked to him yet? It's easy. Easy. Works good. Have you talked to him about it yet? Well, no, I haven't, but it's so upsetting. I love it. You know, wait a minute. Susan, I'm going to pray for you, but what you need to do is you need to talk to him about it. Okay? Whenever somebody comes to us with an offense, first thing you do is ask them, have you talked to the person about it? Okay? And then don't tell anybody else about it. Don't tell anybody else about it. Don't say, did you hear what so-and-so, you know, so-and-so was, I can't believe that, but, you know, just, no. Maybe your spouse, maybe, if they're really good at not blurting things out, but that's even extremely risky, right? I mean, generally, the best approach, really, you just say, have you talked to him about it? That's what you do. You redirect that person, okay? So she goes and she talks to him. And you could say to her, let me know how it worked out. So anyways, she goes and she talks with John. She says, John, you know, two possible responses, right? Hopefully he says, honey, you are absolutely right. I blew it. I really did. Would you please forgive me? And what he does is he says, you know, something to the effect of, can you put one of those internet filters on all my electronic devices and you keep the password? I mean, it's easy to do. Very easy solution to the problem. Not hard at all. Net Nanny, $5 a month. Yeah, something like that. That's a Christian company. There's others too. I mean, you put something on, you put a filter on there, your wife's got the password. Easy solution. I repent. I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? There's forgiveness. It's cool. Okay. Or John goes, come on, honey. I mean, you know, we're living in the 21st century. I mean, everybody does it, and you're just being overly sensitive. And I'm not actually going off and running off with anybody. I mean, it's just, you know, it's all on the internet. And I mean, if you hadn't even noticed, I wouldn't have, you know, you wouldn't even know. I mean, it doesn't affect us. I'm sorry, it's wrong, okay? He's totally wrong, right? Because the bottom line is, that's somebody's son or daughter. Would you like your son or daughter being looked at like that by somebody else? Probably not. You know what I'm saying? And actually, that son or daughter, we're all made in the image of God, so we're actually all his offspring. So God is personally offended by it too. In fact, Jesus said that if we lust after a woman in our own heart, we're actually guilty of committing adultery with her. And Leviticus 18 tells us that adultery is an abomination in the sight of God. So it's a problem. It's a serious problem. It needs to be repented of, big time. But let's say John doesn't repent, right? He won't listen to her. So she calls Jane back up. He didn't listen to me. Okay, all right. I'm going to pray for you, all right? Well, then you try to bring in, maybe you get Jane, maybe Jane's husband, maybe, you know, Pastor Mike or something. You try to set up a meeting with John to talk to him about this problem, right? And so now, and then at this point, this is when you go ahead and call up all your girlfriends and throw it on the social media, right? Wrong. Look at what Jesus says here. He says, if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses, not 25, it's two or three. You know, so we're still keeping this quiet. We're zipping our lip. Why? Because we love people. That's why. okay? And we want John to be reconciled to his wife. You see, if we go ahead and start gossiping that thing all over the place, now it's going to be harder for John to get reconciled to his wife because now John's offended too. And actually, he's got some reason to be offended, right? Because his failure now is public knowledge. He hasn't even had an opportunity to repent yet, maybe. If it's just his wife calling everyone and throwing it on social media, he didn't even have an opportunity to repent for his failure, right? He might be really upset about it, but now he's offended. So now you've just complicated the situation, right? Greatly. Okay. Now, even if it's going and he doesn't listen to his wife, now you get, you know, two or three other people involved in it. Okay. It's still not time to take that thing ballistic, right? He's just, you're giving him an opportunity to get things right. You really want to do this step by step. You don't want to go viral with this thing. So you go and you talk to him, and what is happening now is suddenly he's got a couple other people, hopefully he respects somewhat, coming to him and saying, you know, John, your wife is not being oversensitive about this. This is really an awful sin, and you really need to repent of this. It will be really, really bad for you, for your marriage, for your walk with God. This is a terrible thing for you to be doing, and you need to knock it off, okay? And you got a couple people now that he respects, and it's not just his wife whining or being oversensitive. Now suddenly it's a couple other people, maybe a guy or two, and he's going, you mean everybody doesn't do it? No, I don't do it, John. Okay, just saying, and I'm not a Martian, really. I can, you know, you can walk it out, really, flesh and blood like you. See, go ahead and poke me. It bleeds, yep. I'm not a Martian. It's not green when it comes out. It's red, you know. Really, you don't have to do this. You can be free from this. You know, so now he's hopefully getting shamed into realizing he's done the wrong thing. Shame's a good thing, actually, sometimes. It actually is. It's actually not a bad thing to shame, for somebody to feel shamed. Sometimes we need to feel ashamed. So hopefully he repents. But let's say he refuses to listen to them. Now, these things, it's not always like immediately the very next step, like, okay, didn't listen, that's it. All right, let's put it on the bullhorn. Let's, you know, sometimes you got to take a little time, let it work, let the guy think about it, let him sleep on it. You know, hopefully he's going to repent. You give him a little bit of time. You don't let it go on too long. Now, if he refuses to listen to them, eventually you do tell it to the church. So what are you doing now? Now you're getting it out more broadly. Now you're letting more people in the church community know about it. Now's the time to call up, you know, Mary Ellen and Sue and you know, and John's friend Gary. And, you know, now it's time to get the word out and say, hey, can you guys, just everybody, come on, all hands on deck. Let's talk to him. Bring him to his senses. I mean, this is just ridiculous. He needs to repent of this. He's going to destroy, really damage his marriage. I mean, this is, we got to help this guy. And so all hands on deck. And hopefully, if he gets the whole pressure of the whole community, the shame of it, many times it will bring someone to repentance. It really will. It'll do it. But if we've gone about it the right way, see, if it went viral the minute or a day or two after Susan found out about it, well, now he's all offended at the church. I bet 25 of them are doing it too. And, you know, and it's just all this stuff, you know, it just complicates the picture really big time. So we don't want to do that, right? We don't want to do that. But there is a time when you may have to. And then it's appropriate. He knows he's had several opportunities to get his act together before this thing went viral, right? So he knows, okay, I guess they're really serious about it. Yeah, we are really serious about it. We're not just going to let this blow over. You know, you need to repent of this. We're not just blowing this one over. You got to deal with this issue, right? And so that's what's going on in that kind of a situation. Now he goes on, it says, if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Jesus is saying, listen, I'm really in this. I'm giving you the authority, church, to do this. You have my permission to do this. I want you to do it. I'm behind you when you're doing this. Jesus is actually entrusting his church to have this kind of authority. It's amazing, really. It's kind of mind-boggling. But he's saying, listen, if you need to, if the guy will not listen, you got to put him out of the community. Treat him as a Gentile or a tax collector. Well, how do you treat Gentiles and tax collectors? You tell them to repent and tell them to come to Christ. That's what you tell them. That's what you tell this guy. You treat him as though he's not a believer. Now, is he a believer? I don't know. Sure not shown fruit of a believer, right? You go, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But doesn't matter. I'm going to treat him as if he is an unbeliever and tell him he needs to repent and get right with Christ. I mean, that's what we do in that kind of a situation. Now, is he, you know, is he just backslidden? I don't know. I really don't know. It's not my place. God will judge him ultimately. Maybe he's saved and just really backslidden. Maybe he's not saved. I don't know. But the Lord will sort it out. Now, Paul actually dealt with this kind of a situation in 1 Corinthians 5. He actually had a guy who was sleeping with his dad's wife, with his stepmom. Okay? Incest. Horrible sin. He said, Paul said, most unbelievers don't even do garbage like this. I mean, this is just off the charts. Paul actually took this thing right to Z, step Z, because apparently this was so out of control for so long. It was no need to go through all the process. But look at what the desire is behind it. Is Paul just being mean? Absolutely not. Look at this. For though absent in body, I am present in spirit, and as if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. 1 Corinthians 5:3. Verse 4, when you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. You're actually trying to help this guy. And that's, again, goes right back to the beginning of this whole process. The goal is to help the person with the issue. First, we examine ourselves to see if we've got the issue, right? And then we go and we try to help the person that does have the issue. And we repent of anything that we may be doing, which might be aggravating the situation. And we don't try to make it worse. We try to make it better, right? So Paul's saying, you do this in order that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. So he's basically Paul's saying, deliver him over. Let all hell break loose. He might get saved. If all hell breaks loose in his life, maybe. I mean, it might practically kill him, but hey, at least if he repents, you know, and that's what's going on in the situation. But again, it's actually a desire to see reconciliation. I mean, we've had to walk this thing out in the past. You know, fortunately, it doesn't happen too often. Lord willing, never again, but, you know, you never know. So we walk these things out. We go and we redirect things. We do what we can to, we forgive. The bottom line is we forgive as Christ has forgiven us. That's really, really the important key, is that if, you know, this forgiveness thing is so, so big. When we actually, you know, are open-hearted about our forgiveness and we forgive, as we talked a couple weeks ago, we're actually freed up from torment. Again, we think we're punishing somebody else, and our unforgiveness is actually punishing us. And what's happening is our ability for God to heal us from that original offense and hurt that we received from that person that we won't forgive, I mean, we're actually, our relationship with God is damaged, is cut off. We're not, it's not like we become unsaved, but our fellowship with God is broken. And God actually wants to heal us of that thing, but he can't really heal us the way he wants to until we forgive. So we give, when we forgive, we give God full access to heal our own heart when we do that. And our own relationship with God and others isn't damaged. When we fail to forgive, we actually, it leads to a lot of damage in other relationships because we're not right with God because of our unforgiveness, because we're wounded and we're not getting healed. We ended up harming and hurting a lot more people than we would otherwise. So forgiveness, again, it's really important because of that. Our witness is powerfully magnified. And God is glorified, and people can even get saved by us forgiving people. Now, we talked about this reconciliation thing, and I'm just going to say this, a little caveat here. Jesus said in Matthew 7:6, don't cast your pearls before swine, right? Sometimes we can only go so far with this process, and we simply have to ask forgiveness about anything we've done wrong. And then sometimes we can't go much beyond that because the person who we have the issue with is completely not interested, or they don't even know Christ, and they're just an enemy of ours, period. Then the love your enemy thing just kicks in. The reconciliation thing, it doesn't always work. But see, when we forgive and when we are open to reconciliation, what did Jesus say? He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? The sons of God, right? Little s, right? They become like the big S, right? Isn't that what Jesus did? When he died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, when he was tortured and when he was tormented, as he's up there on the cross and he's saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. What is he actually doing? He's actually extending the opportunity for reconciliation to the entire world, knowing full well that a lot of those people he's extending the invitation to are going to say, I hate your guts, and will never respond to it. He knows that there's a lot of people like that. And what does he do anyways? He gives the offer even to them. And so when we forgive people, that's what we're doing. We're being just like Jesus. Even if we're going, I don't know if they're going to respond or not. I don't know if they, you know. So what? So what? Let's just be like Jesus. Right? We just forgive. We forgive because we get to be like him. And like we were talking about last week, the great reversal is coming. God's going to pay us back above and beyond. It's going to be wonderful. I'm going to end with this story about the power of forgiveness and how forgiveness always, 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 always works. Regardless of, you know, whether somebody gets reconciled or not, or sometimes does, sometimes doesn't. We don't really always know the outcome when we're extending forgiveness to people. But I'm just going to share this story. True story. In the Middle East. Happened in the Middle East. There was this brother in the Middle East, absolutely loved Jesus, serving in the church, witnessing to people, bold as can be. I mean, just really, really bold guy, ministering to widows and orphans. Even God even used him to perform some miracles. I mean, really remarkable stuff. And there were these religious radicals who were coming against him. He was so effective in ministering the gospel and loving on people and sharing Christ with people. I mean, they were just so offended by him that they decided they were going to kill him. So they got him arrested. They brought him before the authorities, and they decided that they were going to stone him to death. Of course, I'm referring to Stephen, right? Acts chapter 6 and 7, right? And so they decide they're going to stone him to death. And Stephen, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and as they're killing him, he sees Jesus. He gets a vision of Jesus. Now that talks about the grace of God to help us in our greatest moment of need. It's really a beautiful picture of that. God is there. He sees Jesus as he's getting killed and murdered unjustly by these wicked, evil people. And what does Stephen do with his last breath? What does he do? He says, Father, he says, forgive them. Don't hold this sin against them. Now, the last I checked, the only way somebody cannot have their sins held against them on Judgment Day is if they give their life to Christ. He's praying for their salvation. He's praying for their salvation. I mean, that's remarkable. The people who are killing him, he's about ready to expire, and he forgives the people who just did it. Sounds kind of like Jesus, right? Sounds a lot like Jesus. And you know what? Stephen wasn't a Martian either. He wasn't. But the grace of God was available to him just like it's available to you and me. But you know what? It gets even more interesting because Stephen forgives and we go, okay, yeah, boy, that really helped out Stephen, right? Ended up dead. Awesome. Way to go, Steve, right? I mean, that's our immediate reaction. And then we look at what happened and we find out there's this guy, Saul of Tarsus. And after he helps out with killing Stephen, he goes on ravaging the church, the scripture says. It almost seems like he's ramping it up. It's even getting worse. He's getting people arrested. He said in one of his epistles, When I had them put to death, plural, he's killing people. He's a murderer. He's a vicious religious extremist going after Christians, just getting them arrested, taking them out, having them put to death, having them murdered. Wow, Stephen. Boy, that didn't work, huh? Not the end of the story, though, is it? See, like, what happened? Jesus knocks him off his horse, right? He's on his journey. Jesus literally, I think he just went like that because he saw Jesus, and it wasn't a vision. It was the real deal. It was him. He's going, who are you, Lord? Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you doing that? Now, it's interesting. He says this statement. He says, it's really hard to kick against the goads, isn't it? Now, you know what goads are, right? Right? What is a goad, Rusty? Like, nice little sharp thing? A little prod, you kind of hit it in the cattle to get the cattle to go the direction you want it to go. And it's painful. Gives them a nice little shock. Ow! Ooh! Ah! Right? See, it's painful. Paul is killing these people thinking he's serving God, and he's going, it doesn't feel good. They keep forgiving me. They're praying for me. I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm feeling yuckier all the time. I mean, it just, you know. And what is Jesus doing? He's receiving the prayers of the saints. He says, I'm answering this one. I'm getting this guy. Boom! Whoa! Who are you, Lord? And he goes on and he becomes, of course, the most prolific apostle that we have in the scriptures, you know. That's all, you know. Did Stephen's forgiveness work? I think so. You know, I think it worked, you know. And look at what happened. I mean, the fruit. I mean, actually, people were leaving Jerusalem because of the persecution of Stephen, which Saul was like a leader. Paul was a leader in this thing. And they leave. The Christians leave. They go to Antioch. They start a church up there. Paul later on joins them. I mean, how crazy is that? And he gets sent out by them, by people who knew Stephen and were actually fleeing from him. I mean, talk about reconciliation. Talk about the hand of God using the forgiveness of his people to extend the cause of the gospel. I mean, this is as powerful as it gets. It's amazing, the power behind that. And we could share many stories like that from the annals of history. And we're going to get to find out about tons of them on Judgment Day. I can't wait. I can't wait to see what God did when God's people forgave. And so we really want to forgive. Does it work? You better believe it works. May not work out exactly the way we planned or the way we thought, but it always works. Always works. There's a great reversal coming. We may not have the reversal happen in our lifetime, but it's coming. It may happen, it may not. We may see it, we may not. But there's going to be wonderful fruit that's going to happen when we forgive. Always in our life, many times in the lives of others as well. So, Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you that you have shown mercy to us. And we thank you that you have actually invited us to participate in this ministry of reconciliation. You've made us ministers of reconciliation. Lord, we are just so privileged to be ministers of reconciliation. We were in need of reconciliation ourselves, and we found it in you. Paul was in need of reconciliation, and he found it in you. And Lord, we get to serve you in this way. What a privilege to demonstrate and walk out the gospel in our everyday lives. Lord, it's just an amazing privilege, Lord. Let us never, ever take that lightly. And Father, let us always help us to forgive others just as you in Christ forgave us. We want to forgive them the same way, not our own way, not in the way the world sometimes sort of forgives. Lord, we want to forgive the way you forgave us, in the same degree, to the same level, and from the heart. And we pray you'd help us to walk that out. And we ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.